We are spending this hour getting to know the two candidates for Congress in Oregon District 2. That's the gigantic district that stretches from Grants Pass on the west to Idaho and Nevada on the east. Greg Walden represents it now and has since early 1999. Jim Crary from the Ashland area is the Democratic challenger to Walden, making his first run for public office, and he's here in the studio with me. Jim Crary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
So let's start with the figure on disapproval of Congress, 78% as of a Gallup poll in August. I mean, why? It's one of those stories like, do you want to belong to a club that would want to have you as a member?
The problem with that is you think that your own representative is not part of the problem. It's all the other 435 that are the problems, or 434. Anyway, that's not what the situation is here. Mr. Walden is ensconced in the hierarchy of the Republican Party. He is part of the problem, as far as I'm concerned. And I always think of what Einstein said in Sandy is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. You keep electing these guys and you expect a different result. That's insanity.
So what is the spark that makes you run? I mean, in a district particularly with lots of Republicans and a very entrenched incumbent.
The spark that makes me want to run is campaign finance reform. And I heard you talking to Mr. Walden about that. And he was saying that he's a big proponent of the First Amendment. I'm a big proponent of the First Amendment, too. But I think the amount of money that's pouring into campaigns ever since 2010 and Citizens United was decided is absolutely obscene. And that's the best word I can use to describe it. There are so many people that think it's a rigged game because the rich have all the influence. And it is a rigged game. The rich do have all the influence. Those people that make all these contributions, they're not stupid people. They're making an investment and they get a return on their investment. Just look at our tax code and look where the tax code benefits certain people. It is totally a rigged game. And what I want to do is get money out of the politics. And right on my website, and my website is crary16.com, I have drafted a campaign finance reform constitutional amendment because it's going to take a constitutional amendment. He was right. If because of free speech, because of the way the Supreme Court has interpreted it, any legislative action that tries to restrict money runs into the First Amendment. So it's got to be co-equal to the First Amendment. That's why it needs to be a constitutional amendment. And then what I would say is only U.S. citizens who live in the district where the issue or the candidate is on the ballot should be able to contribute. I'm running in Congressional District 2 in Oregon. Why should someone in California or Texas or Louisiana give me money? They're not doing it because they're altruistic. They're doing it because they want some kind of access. They want some kind of representation. If I give any access or representation to those people, who gets the short end of the stick? The people in Congressional District 2, the people that I'm supposed to be representing.
But then in the scenario you envision, the Democratic Party of Oregon, based in Western Oregon, outside of the 2nd District, could not donate to your campaign.
That's correct. You know what? That's fine. U.S. citizens are not stupid people. They have the ability to make their own decision. I would love to see people running for office not come back only for your vote, but also for your financial contribution. That means they're coming back more and more. Why have a fundraiser in D.C.? You're not supposed to be representing those people in D.C. Why have a fundraiser on a golf course in Florida? You're not supposed to be representing those people. You're supposed to be representing the people in Congressional District 2. I am not going to represent special interests. I am going to represent the people in Congressional District 2.
Jim Crary is running for the Congressional District 2 seat in the U.S. House, as you heard, running against Greg Walden, the entrenched incumbent. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about your occupational background. You've got teaching, you've got law, you've got some time at an oil company. Give us a sketch.
My main part was I worked for the municipality of Anchorage in their legal department for 14 years. I started off as a prosecutor. Then I went to insurance defense because the municipality was self-insured. And I ended up doing a lot of contract and procurement work. And BP was looking for an attorney that had a lot of contracting and procurement experience. I went with BP in 1997. I was with them for almost 17 years. I was not in their legal department. I was in their contracting, procurement, supply chain management department. I did contracts. I wrote, negotiated, and drafted contracts. And that's why I like to do a lot of drafting, and that's why I came up with my campaign finance reform constitutional amendment. A lot of people say they're for a campaign finance reform constitutional amendment, but until you actually put it down on paper, I have no idea what you mean.
When you look at the Constitution and the fairly broad and occasionally vague wording in it, you know, for example, a well-regulated militia,
yep,
and so forth, are you concerned at all about tinkering with the Constitution and trying to get some narrow definitions like speech, money does not equal speech?
That is something you have to worry about. And that is something that, you know, I can propose this, and trust me, it would be well vetted before it ever went before the Congress or anybody else to be approved. But I think you have to put something down on paper before you can, and then you have actually something to look at and vet and criticize or say, yes, that's right. It is, but I agree, it's kind of hard because I think sometimes it's easier to be more broad.
But in a post-Citizens United world, you don't see any other way to approach campaign finance other than to alter the Constitution?
I don't. I mean, you could hope for a new Supreme Court to overturn Citizens United, but that is a very iffy thing because precedents are not overturned lightly. It's not something that happens. And you're really betting on the come on that one, and I don't think I would do that.
All right, so your number two issue beyond campaign finance reform appears to be climate change. I mean, what would you like to see from Congress that you have not seen yet?
What I would like to see is what BP, the oil company, what Exxon Mobil, what Total, another oil company in France, all say they want, and that is a carbon tax. They want certainty, and certainty is what we should give them. British Columbia has had a carbon tax in effect for about 7 or 8 years. It's worked very, very well. It has driven down the use of fossil fuels. People have accepted it. What they did in British Columbia is made it revenue neutral, which means the money from the carbon tax is then used to reduce other taxes, and it's been fine.
So there's no additional money in the coffers of the government entity. You're just saying as revenue neutral, it means you don't get any more than you had before.
That's correct. But my real preference would be, you know, I think that's probably the politically palatable way is to make it revenue neutral. But my real desire would be to use the money to increase solar, increase wind, increase any renewable energy that we've got, and also extend the tax credit for electric vehicles. Right now, the tax credit expires after 200,000 vehicles have been sold. I would like to see tax credits for any electric vehicle that's sold. I'm looking at, you know, the Chevrolet Bolt is going to come out pretty soon, the Tesla 3, and those cars with the credits are about $30,000, which means they're really becoming competitive with other gas and diesel-powered vehicles. And that's what I want. I want to see electric vehicles powered by renewable energy.
How do you gain traction, though, in a Congress where you've got elected members saying that climate change is a hoax?
The way you get traction is to elect somebody like me, because I can guarantee you if I got elected, it would send ripples, not ripples, but waves through Congress. And the other people in other states would say, you know what? Crary did it. I can do it as well. And then you would not keep reelecting the 78% dissatisfaction that you're talking about. You know, let's get some new people in there with new ideas and people that are not tied to the special interests who are going to represent their constituents. I really believe that the constituents are way ahead of the Congress and that Congress is tied to special interests and that's holding them back.
Your idea of taking money only from the elective district, though, I mean, are you living by that now?
I
mean,
are you
taking money only from the second district?
I am absolutely living by it. In fact, I've just self-funded my campaign for this one. I'm going to run again, and next time I am going to take money, and I am absolutely going to live.
You're going to run again. Wait a minute. You're sounding like you're planning on losing this time.
Well, you know what? Mr. Walden generally wins 70 to 30. I am not sitting here with rose-colored glasses on. I have a chance. I do have a chance this year. My chance is all the people that voted for Bernie Sanders on the left and Trump on the right who are totally dissatisfied with the status quo. If those people follow through at the congressional level, I absolutely have a chance. If they don't, but I started from zero. Nobody knew me. I knew nobody. Mr. Walden has been in there, like you said, from the last century. He's been in there a long time. He's well ensconced. He's got a lot of money. He had $1.5 million in the bank with no debt, and I had nothing. So, I do have a chance, but it's not a big chance this year. But I am looking to run again.
Okay, to run again. All right. So you told, moving on to other issues here, you told the Baker City Herald that you're for sustainable forestry practices. I mean, how different from what you see going on in federal forests now? And were you just limiting yourself to federal forests?
Well, I live in a forest. I live up in the Green Springs. I live on 51 acres of woods. Fire, we just had a fire about a month ago. It was right next to my property. You talk about something scary. I am totally into sustainability. I'm totally into getting the fuel off the ground, and so that if we do have a fire, it doesn't go up into the canopies and spread like wildfire. What I would like to see
wildfire is... Wildfire is supposed to spread like wildfire.
Correct. You know, bad. Yeah, I agree. thank you. What I would like to see is stop taking the budget parts of the Forest Service to fight fires that are not intended to fight fires. Fully fund the Forest Service so you can go in there and you can do thinning, you can do fuel reduction. But they keep taking money out of, you know, the money that's supposed to be reducing it, and all they're doing is enhancing the fire danger.
When we talked to Greg Walden a little bit ago, a lot of discussion about the Ashland Forest Resiliency Project. Have you been up there? Do you see that as a potential model that is replicable elsewhere?
I have not been up there, but yes, it is a model that I would like to see replicated.
You want to improve the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, different from your opponent who wants to just repeal it and stick something else in there. What would you like to see done to the Affordable Care Act to make it better?
Here's what I would like to see. I would like to see a single payer. You know what? That makes total sense to me. Medicare, I'm not quite old enough, but I'm going to be on Medicare next year. I haven't heard any complaints about people on Medicare. They all seem to like it. And here's what I see right now. Private insurance companies, they pay their executives very well. They have a high compensation package for the executives. They have to make a profit. They basically have an incentive to deny coverage, because if they can deny coverage, then that goes towards their profit. That's wrong. I mean, let's look around the world. We are not the only country in the world that has medical issues. Let's look at other countries. They have, you know, single payer has worked very, very well. And that's where I'd like to see it go.
Is single payer still something of a third rail, you think, in American politics?
I do not know. It comes up every presidential race, I can tell you that.
Often in the Democratic primaries, you know.
Yes, yep. But to me, it just makes sense. It just, all the money that is going into profit and executive compensation could go into medical coverage. And why not? It just doesn't make sense to me that it doesn't.
And there's a large constituency then. The people making profits are the executive compensation.
Which goes back to my number one issue, campaign finance reform and special interests. I can give you a really good example of special interests. Mr. Walden was talking about Medicare Part D, and he said it was a great success. And I look at it and see it's a total give in to the special interests.
There's no negotiation on making drug prices low.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So what the government said is, okay, federal government, even though Medicare Part D and the Veterans Administration, you're both part of the federal government, the Veterans Administration can negotiate drug prices. Medicare Part D government cannot directly negotiate drug prices. Medicare Part D pays, you know, 30% to 48% more for the same drug prices that the Veterans Administration pays for. That's like, I've seen anywhere from 16 to 50 billion. That's with a B. That's Bravo. $16 billion to $50 billion a year that costs the government. What the heck? How stupid is that? Why not just say, okay, Medicare Part D and Veterans Administration, you can both negotiate and we will all save money. And I just think, come on. If special interests don't have rule the roost in D.C., someone's not being truthful.
Jim Crary is running for Congress in Oregon District 2. That is the gigantic district that extends from Grants Pass to the Idaho border, including everything east of the Cascades. It's basically about two-thirds of Oregon's landmass. Greg Walden holds the seat now. We talked to him earlier. We're talking to Jim Crary now. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Income inequality, which Greg Walden mentioned, is the biggest issue with this Congress in his mind. Your approach is very specific and includes addressing infrastructure needs. Tell us about that.
My approach came right out of Bernie Sanders' website. I made a few tweaks, but it's basically Bernie Sanders. And what he says is, let's put people back to work rebuilding our infrastructure. And when I say infrastructure, I'm talking roads, bridges, ports, the electrical grid, high-speed internet, water systems, sewer systems. I mean, our infrastructure used to be the envy of the world. We are no longer the envy of the world with our infrastructure. And those are the kind of jobs. Those are not fast service you know, burger flipping type jobs. Those are jobs that if we hired people to do them, they would be able to own a home. They would be able to take a vacation. They could send their kids to school. Those are really good middle class paying jobs. And what's the benefit? Well, when you have good infrastructure, businesses love it. They come in, they can get their raw materials in, and they can get their product out. There's no downside on that as far as I'm concerned. So the first thing, 1993 was the last time the federal gas tax was raised, and the federal gas tax pays for bridges and roads. So why the heck not? And actually, this is something that Chamber of Commerce on the right and Labor on the left came in front of Congress and basically begged, please raise the gas tax so we have more money to put more people back to work. Again, Congress, in their eminent wisdom, said no. Well, let's do it. Let's raise the gas tax and use that money for bridges and roads. Let's also borrow money. And I understand people get totally freaked out that we owe $20 trillion. But there is a time and a place to borrow money. And I would say that interest rates are at a absolutely low. We can borrow money so cheap. And if you put it into infrastructure, the return on that investment is going to more than pay for the cost of the borrowing. So there's, you know, you could raise the gas tax and borrow money at the same time. Put people to work and everybody would benefit.
How much do you want to raise the gas tax?
You know, I'd say at least 15 cents is, and that's, you know what, I haven't looked at it that close. I'd have to look at it a little closer to really figure out how much you would raise with it. But I would want to fully, you know, I really want to fund these projects.
Okay. Is there a, what's the approach you'd like to take to income inequality and how to get that?
Well, the income inequality, if you spent money on infrastructure, that would put people to work. That's the gap that I'm looking at, mm-hmm. is putting people to work, you know, building roads or repairing roads, fixing bridges, fixing our ports, fixing our grid, bringing high-speed internet to the rural communities, fixing our sewer system. So those are the kind of jobs. That's where I think you would raise the middle class.
Is there a tax approach you'd like to take as well? I mean, are you talking about increasing taxes on upper brackets to...
I would go with Hillary. And I think, and I've looked at what she said, and it makes good sense to me. I mean, who has benefited in the last 10, 15 years? It's a 1%. They need to pay their fair share as far as I'm concerned. And she doesn't raise taxes on anyone making less than $250,000. I heard Mr. Walden say that the average income in Congressional District 2 is about $35,000. So nobody in Congressional District 2 or no average person in Congressional District 2 would pay a penny more in taxes. And that's fine. I think that's fair. Let the rich, you know, carry more of their share.
We have an email here from Mike. He says, for some of us here, you're preaching to the choir, but how are you reaching out to conservatives in our district? And, of course, this is a very conservative district, particularly east of the Cascades.
I am doing a lot of traveling, and I'm trying to talk to as many people as I can. Anytime I can talk on the radio or on the TV or a newspaper, I do it. And hope I agree. I mean, it's an uphill battle. But here's what I think. Conservatives also want good-paying jobs. Conservatives also want medical care that's going to take care of their families. And I think that they just need to start looking at really their own best interests and start considering somebody with other than an R in front of their name on the ballot.
How much distance have you traveled? I mean, this district is actually larger than South Dakota. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that, but I know it's huge. I've been up to Joseph a couple of times. I'm going to go over to Ontario. I mean, I've been up to Hood River. I've been to Burns. I've been to John Day. I mean, it's amazing. And as I'm driving, it's really been incredible. I look at how wide open it is, and I think, man, we could have so much solar power out here. We could have so much wind power out here. Because it's just sagebrush, not all, but much sagebrush. And there's so many opportunities out there to really get into renewable energies.
Well, certainly when you're working in as conservative a district as we're talking about in Oregon, too, it helps to talk about government waste. What are some of the places where you think things can be trimmed and focused?
First thing would be Medicare Part D. Get rid of that. Let the government negotiate. Next thing would be, and this is right on my website, you know what the F-35 is?
It's the joint fighter?
Yep. And you know what those things are they're spending about $1.5 trillion on that thing. A trillion. That's with a T. That's a tango. That's people cannot comprehend how much money that is. Those things are going to cost, and I've seen anywhere from $82 million to about $150 million per plane.
Per plane. Mm-hmm.
$150 million. How much money, how much infrastructure could we take care of with that? And what I'm saying is we're building a weapon for the last war. Why, we have drone technology. How much of that plane is going to be there just to take care of the pilot? Why not, if you want a fighter, make him a fighter drone. Then you're not putting a pilot at risk. It would be so much more cost efficient, and it would be so much safer to the military, because you're not having a pilot at risk. Pilots get tired, pilots get sick, and all of a sudden you've got a pilot that's sick or tired or, you know, injured for some reason in a $150 million plane, and that plane goes down. I'd say let's build, if you want fighters, let's make them drones and save a heck of a lot of money and take that money and put it into our infrastructure.
Jim Crary, should Greg Walden win this election over you, he'll be in Congress for 20 years by the time the term is over. You're talking about term limits, which seems like an unusual move for a Democrat. What kind of term limits do you want to see?
For a congressman, what I would do is make it 12 years. But, and this would take a constitutional amendment as well, but I would make it a four-year term instead of a two-year term. Because with a two-year term, you get elected and boom, you're turned around and you're already running again. Let somebody get elected and let somebody have an opportunity to make some changes. What I see with the professional politicians like Mr. Walden is they're always running. They never want to make a hard decision. And he was talking about 740 bills being passed. Well, 740 bills doesn't make...
Passed from committee, I noticed. Yeah, I took the numbers down on that, too. 601 voted on the floor, 212 that actually were taken up by the Senate.
But most of them are of no consequence. Let's deal with...
Well, like Obamacare repeals.
Yeah, well, or let's deal with the big issues. Let's deal with campaign finance reform. Let's fix Social Security. Social Security is going to be paying out 75 cents on the dollar in 18 years. That's going to screw over a lot of people. And let's fix it now. But they don't want to make a hard decision. And what I'm saying is, with term limits, you'd be incentivized to make a hard decision because you know you've only got a limited amount of time.
Jim Crary, the Democrat running for Congress in Oregon Congressional District 2. Greg Walden joined us earlier in the hour. Thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. You're very welcome. I appreciate it.